definitely started feeling old when the Blue Jays roll out a lineup that has Vlad Guerrero's kid, Bichette's kid, Biggio's kid, but it's starting to happen all over again. If you didn't know, the MLB draft coming up this weekend, and you'll see Carl Crawford's kid, Andrew Jones's kid, Matt Holliday's son. Yeah, Jackson Holliday, Matt's son, who used to run around at Busch Stadium as a young boy, is expected to be one of the top three picks in the MLB draft. It's taking place in Los Angeles this weekend. They're rolling it into the All-Star weekend. I think they're trying hard to make it more like the NBA, the NFL. It's going to be a little harder because you just don't know the players the way you do in the NFL coming out of college football, where there's a ton of eyeballs on the sport. You know, basketball, for the most part, you know a lot of the players. Certainly there's some international players you've never seen play before, maybe some high school kids. So MLB, though, they're doing their best to try and make it into a thing. And Matt Holliday's son, the former Cardinal, Jackson Holliday, he is a left-handed hitting shortstop. And again, one of the top three prospects. He's not going to be in L.A. They're going to have a family party back in Stillwater. That's the plan. The Holidays will all be gathered around the TV to watch it play out. And they've actually juggled the whole All-Star lineup. The Futures game was always that Sunday night deal. Well, that's moved to Saturday, so that Sunday can be all about the draft before they have the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby and all of that. So a lot of Cardinal flavor already with Albert Pujols in the Home Run Derby. Paul Goldschmidt in the starting lineup. Nolan Arenado's there. Ryan Helsley is there. So it is an All-Star weekend. A lot of baseball on the brain. So the Kilcoin Conversation is with Matt Holliday, a guest on the program in the past, talking about his son Jackson and balancing that role of being a dad and a coach. And, you know, try not to weigh in too much, but you know you got a lot to offer when you play in the big leagues. And it's fun to sort of hear about his kids growing up at Busch Stadium, 7.5 years as a Cardinal. And then we'll sort of end it with a thought or two on the Red Jacket, because in August, next month, Matt's going into the Cardinals Hall of Fame. His thoughts on living up to the contract that they signed to him, but also the fact that this honor is chosen by the fans. It's one thing if the writers or the, you know, the team selects you, but this is fan-driven. That's a fan ballot. That's one thing that's really cool about the Cardinals Hall of Fame. We have this red ribbon panel, and we'll help create the list, and then it gets whittled down a little bit from there, but then ultimately the fans decide who they want voted in. And for players who are not quite Cooperstown, not quite Hall of Fame, National Baseball Hall of Fame, it's a pretty cool deal to be there opening day wearing the red jacket, shaking hands, and being part of the history of the franchise. So good visit with Matt. That's our segment for you. And it's presented by Triad Bank, which is a St. Louis-based bank. They've been around since 2005. Five-star rated bank, and I've been saying this for a long time. If it's a commercial loan, home loan, car loan, you name it, they will take great care of you. Just opened the second location on Olive, just west of 270. Things are going well. That's because folks have started to figure it out that Triad Bank is going to take great care of their customers. Marie Davila Senior Living, that's the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road. Since 1960, the premier spot for senior living. They have villa estates, assisted living, all levels of care. You can take a virtual tour at mariedevilla.com. That's mariedevilla.com. mariedevilla.com to take that virtual tour. B&G, you hear me talk about those folks because they are the best in the bricks. So if you need some tuck pointing done, and boy, all throughout the St. Louis area, there's so many brick homes. I was driving around the other day. I was on Ballast Road. I saw the B&G tuck pointing sign in the yard. That means that they are making their home look new again. That's what happens when you get the tuck pointing work done, whether it's the home, the garage, the chimney. They also do the foundation repair, waterproofing. You've heard me talk about Rich Galati and his great team for a long time now. Get a free estimate at 363-0525. 363-0525. is the number to call. You can check out all of their work at bgtuckpointing.com. And appliance discounters, they are all around the St. Louis area. Real simple, though. Go to the website. Just go to theappliancediscounters.com. Search engine. You can type in General Electric. Check out all of the merchandise right there. GE has so many great rebates. And Appliance Discounters has a real simple formula. The biggest names, lowest prices, and quick delivery. They've been able to do that with the giant warehouse in downtown St. Louis. TheAppliancediscounters.com. Their savings are your savings. All right, let's do it. Let's talk it over with the soon-to-be Cardinal Hall of Famer, Matt Holliday.
Matt, give me an idea for you what this upcoming weekend's like, though. You know, you went through it yourself. You know what it's like to be ready for a draft. But what's it been like for you and the family knowing the big day ahead for Jackson?
Well, I think we've stayed pretty busy. I mean, it's such a strange time. I think they're trying to do this draft around the All-Star game, which I could see. But, you know, typically it's been in June where these kids don't have as much time in between their high school or college season. So you've got this whole extra month where they're trying to figure out, you know, what to do with themselves. And so we've kind of just been traveling around with Ethan and his travel baseball and kind of enjoying this last normal, quote unquote, summer as a family. And so we've been in Florida right now. We're in North Carolina. And so we've traveled around and stayed busy. Obviously, we're getting excited about this week coming up, and we'll be here a few more days. And then we go to St. Louis for Family Christian Day. And then we basically after that fly straight back to Stillwater, and the draft is on Sunday. So we've been super busy and keeping everybody just moving. And so it's exciting. And I think we're all kind of ready for it to happen because of all the speculation and all of the meetings and the FaceTimes and he's done a lot of interviews, and which I think is enjoyable. I think he's enjoyed that, but it gets to the point where it's kind of like he's ready for to find out what's going to happen. And we're excited for that. And so, we're looking forward to this weekend. I'm super happy for him. He's worked really hard for this. It's been his dream since he was a little boy. So I think this is it's a really cool, fun time for our family.
How did the right-handed slugging outfielder produce a left-handed hitting shortstop?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. So all three of the boys are swinging the bat left-handed. My daughter, who has a nice right-handed swing, but not very interested in softball or baseball. So I don't know, Martin. I don't know. I assume that they got some of their bone structure a little bit from my wife, who's not a very big girl. So I think they Ethan is a little bit built more like me, but Jackson is probably built a little bit more like my wife. And so I would say that we don't resemble one another as a player very much at all.
Well, tell us about his game. People that I'm sure some have watched YouTube clips, but for most sure. People watching in St. Louis haven't seen him play. Tell us about his game.
Well, he's a shortstop, as you said. He runs really well. He runs plus run times. He plays shortstop really well. He's very instinctual. I think the part of the game probably that you would notice in his experience of growing up around the clubhouse and around Busch Stadium and around Major League Baseball and being exposed to lots of great players and is his instincts both on defense and on the bases. He plays the game at a high level already as far as knowing what to do with the ball. He's always thinking a play ahead. And so he's a very instinctual player. He plays fast. He's got power. He's just getting strong. I think that's really what catapulted him up the draft is that his man muscles are starting to come in and starting to match up with his skill level, which he's always been very skilled, bat to ball, barrel skills. And now the ball, those balls that are line drives in the gaps are starting to go over the fence, and he's getting stronger as far as his throws, and he's running, like I said earlier, really good times and stealing bases. So he had an incredible high school season. He's had a chance to play with his brother Ethan was our third baseman, and Jackson played short. And he did a great job of leading the team and helping Ethan as a freshman on varsity. I was really impressed with how he handled the whole spring.
What are you hearing? I mean, we hear top two or three or whatever. How do you approach the weekend not knowing?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, obviously I did this, you know, as a player, but that's been, you know, a long time ago, pre sort of slot, you know, with a slotting of signing bonuses. So I didn't really know what to expect going in. And really at this point, I don't know much. I'm surprised that I don't know more, if that makes sense. I figured with 5 or 6 days left, we would have a better idea of what this might look like as far as, like you said, one, two, or three. I think there's a really high chance that if he gets the three, the Rangers will draft him. And so I don't know. I wish I could give you something. I honestly wish I knew something myself. But I suppose in the next 2 or 3 days, we would maybe hear more about, you know, what this is looking like. But I think Baltimore, notoriously, at least under current regime, has been pretty quiet down to, you know, the last day or so of what they're going to do. I think they're still debating maybe even on what they're going to do. So we'll see. Obviously, two and three will sort of pivot off whatever Baltimore does at one.
You kind of mentioned it. How much – well, all the kids, but, you know, Jackson would have been, what, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 when you were in St. Louis. How much time did he spend at Busch or in the locker room around the guys?
A lot. And I think that was, you know, my goal as a dad. I wanted to be a good dad. I wanted my kids around me. I wanted, you know, particularly the two older boys, they were old enough to come and know how to behave and stay out of the way and learn and be around and play and come early and get out on the field. And then as they got a little bit older, I could trust them to shag batting practice and kind of be on their own. And they'd go in the cage and hit and play catch with whoever wasn't doing anything. And so they spent a lot of time at Busch and growing up at the park. And I was very grateful for Tony and Mike and Mo and Mr. DeWitt and allowing the families and the boys to be almost, you know, full access. They could be with me on road trips and during the game, they would go in the back and, you know, they would kind of stay out of the way during the games. And then, you know, I would literally have the two boys with me on road trips, which was, you know, something that they'll always remember and something that I'll always remember is just fun, really cool experiences with your boys. And so I'm super grateful with how much time they got to spend around Busch Stadium, on the road, around the Cardinals players organization. I think it really impacted who they are as players and as people, which I'm grateful for.
How much have you had to battle? Hey, I played the game at a high level. I could help you, son, but I don't want to overdo it. I don't want to be the dad in the car saying that third inning at bat when you fouled off that cutter. You know, like, how do you I mean, how does anybody know when to say something, when not to?
Well, I think, you know, they're both very different in how they would like for me to help coach them. Jackson is a little more even keel, and he wants a lot of coaching, and he wants, if I see something, to say something. And Ethan's a little bit more, I let him come to me. He's a little bit more of an emotional player and, you know, you have to pick your spots with helping, you know, some of the things with who I want to help him with. So they're different kids. I try to parent them differently. I think that I've done a pretty good job of not take, you know, I think the one thing that I do have experience playing, and I know how hard the game is. And so I always try to side on giving them space and letting them, you know, start the conversation with me about, you know, what's maybe if something didn't go right. Or the only thing, Martin, that I've always been, you know, very upfront with them that's unacceptable is lack of effort, not being a good teammate, and showing up umpires or frustration of showing up teammates. Those things are not allowed. I would not tolerate them. You know, they would know immediately if they did something like that. So as far as making mistakes in baseball, that's part of the game. I always, you know, want to help them correct them. But I never raise my voice at them for making mistakes on the field. Like I said, the only rules that we had are effort and how they treat both their teammates and coaches and the umpires, and having respect for their opponent.
All right, final thought. We'll see you in St. Louis in August for the Red Jacket ceremony. You've had time to let that sink in a little bit. What does that mean to you in terms of your career?
Well, I think it means a lot. I mean, I think when I got traded over to St. Louis, I wanted to be there. Ultimately, we were able to get a chance and a great act of faith by Mr. DeWitt and Mo of giving me a 7-year contract for me to get to spend 7-plus years in St. Louis. When they gave me that contract, I wanted to give them everything that they paid for. And so for me to get a chance to you know, inevitably go into the Cardinals Hall of Fame after that contract they gave me, it means a lot to me from just that sort of standpoint. But when you start talking about all the programs and Cardinal Glennon and Homers for Health and all my teammates and all the coaches and all those things, I think that the culmination of my 7-plus years in St. Louis, to get a chance to sort of tie that up at the end by going into the Cardinal Hall of Fame is something I'm really grateful, proud, and excited about, you know, come August. So it means a lot. I'm very, you know, when I start thinking about it and start thinking about back into the opening days of shaking hands with all those great Cardinals, to get a chance to be part of that fraternity as a career, you know, like sort of this kid that grew up loving baseball and a bit of a baseball historian, to get a chance to be part of that group is incredibly meaningful for me and my family.
And I'm on this committee where all we do is whittle down the list. I think it's got to mean even more what the fans voted. I mean, it's not what I think or what Danny Mac or the DeWitts think. It's the fans.
Yeah, and I think that that's also, you know, as we talk about, you know, living there and getting a chance to be part of Homers for Health, and really the fans drive that bus of all the money that's been, you know, raised for sick and injured kids and that hospital and what they're able to do for families going through really difficult things. That's all fan driven. Just like this, I tried to play the game the right way, Martin. I tried to honor the Cardinal history with my effort and my want to, as far as wanting to win and be part of something great. I wanted to be a really good teammate. I wanted to help the young guys understand what it took to be a Cardinal after I learned, you know, and getting a chance to be around Chris Carpenter and obviously Adam and Yachty and Albert and all the veteran players that when I got traded over there, you know, you want to just keep passing on what that's like. And my experience there, like I said, with getting a chance to be there for the majority of my career and getting a chance to play in front of those fans is really, you know, second to none. And like I said, any chance I get to tell current players or people considering signing or getting traded for about my experience in St. Louis is that you have to do it. I mean, it's just that great of a place to play ball, and it means that much to the fans. And it's an incredible city to be a St. Louis Cardinal in.
And really some great thoughts there from Matt about how the fans voted him in, but really the impact that Homers for Health has had is because of Cardinal fans. Really a cool program they've been doing for a long time now at Cardinal Glennon. Fans can donate. You can donate $1 for every home run they hit. In the end of the year, you write a check and all the money you can write, you can pay $20 for every home run they hit, $100, whatever. It all helps. And they've been doing this for a long time, and Matt Holliday has spearheaded that campaign. And just a great idea for fans to get involved. But his point is the same. You know, he doesn't get into the Cardinal Hall of Fame without the fans, and the success of Homers for Health doesn't happen without the fans, the great Cardinal fans who have supported Matt and supported the cause at Homers for Health. It's going to be fun this draft weekend watching the names rattle off. Carl Crawford's kid, Andrew Jones' son, Jackson Holliday. He's the oldest. Maybe we'll hear that Holliday name again on draft day. And it's been great having Matt on the show, on the podcast over the last couple of years. As a player, very low-key, did his job, put his head down, went to work. Wasn't a big media guy. But then the more you get to know him, great personality, really a funny guy, and just sort of wanted to like do his job as a player, but now he's retired. You hear him on local radio a lot more in St. Louis, and it's fun to get his insight, his knowledge, and reflecting back on the great career that he had. The Kilcoin Conversation, as always, presented by Triad Bank, Marie Davila Senior Living, B&G Tuck Pointing, and theappliancediscounters.com. I know it's actually Appliance Discounters, but I would just say the website, because that's the easiest thing, is to go check things out online. So if you're in the market for a new bank and you're tired of either the runaround or maybe just the rudeness you get at some of these huge national, international banks, make sure you're doing business with the folks at Triad Bank. And Marie Davila Senior Living, whether it's your parents, whether it's your aunt and uncle or anybody you're helping out, your grandparents, make sure you check them out at the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road in West County. And B&G Tuck Pointing, huge sports fans. You see the commercials, not just during Blues games. Now you see the B&G Tuck Pointing spots running during Cardinal baseball as well. BGTuckPointing.com, the website, and the number to call for a free estimate, whether it's waterproofing, foundation repair, or the tuck pointing, because they are the best in the bricks. That number is 363-0525. And again, Appliance Discounters, check them out on the web, theappliancediscounters.com. I'm Martin Kilcoin. Thanks for checking us out here on the Kilcoin Conversation.